This is an interview for the Mill Workers Oral History Project. The date is March 9th, 2006. This is Andrea Lumgier, and this afternoon I'm interviewing Noel Morrill at his home on King Avenue in Lewiston, Maine. Could you start just by saying your full name?
Noel Richard Morrill.
And when were you born?
December the 25th, 1928.
A Christmas baby.
Right.
And where were you born?
In Waterville, Maine.
Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up here in Lewiston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were your parents from Waterville, or where were they?
Well, they were Arista County.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved here to Lewiston and Auburn. My grandfather was a paper and wallpaper hanger. So my mother and my father, actually a stepfather, were here also.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up here, gone to school here.
And what was Lewiston like at the time you were growing up in the 30s?
Oh, geez, they had quite a few people from Canada. Oh, gee, they had trainload come down on Lincoln. Lincoln Street, there's a trunk. And, oh, I don't know how many people got off. They had the housing on Canal Street, big apartment buildings. The only bad thing was they all had to share one bathroom. Oh, yeah, on one floor. But they hired them. They come down, they were guaranteed a job. But here's the thing, in my opinion, the company paid them, and then they, in turn, had to pay the company back for the rent. So they didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
But it was nice. They had nice people. The people were very nice.
Is that the area that you lived in?
No, I lived on Blake Street at one time, and then I moved on to Oak Street in Lewiston.
And what did your parents do for work?
Well, my mother was working at the St. Mary's Hospital in the nursing quarters. She was like a chambermaid, and for years she was there. I hate to say this, but she asked for a raise. I told her, I said, hey, you've been working there over 5 or 10 years. I forgot what it was. I said, you're entitled to a little extra, I believe. So they fired her. Oh, yeah, the nuns were running it. And so they said, I'm sorry, but you're not worth it and all this and that. She was a deaf mute, and she only had one arm, so she was handicapped. But they were good enough to hire her. But a doctor put in a word for her, Dr. Govrow. And that's how come she was working there.
So... Now, when did you go into the mill?
Oh, shit, I got out in 1952. I must have went in there in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
And I was home on a sick leave, and they called me up and said I was all done. But they were dismantling the mill. Eventually, they closed down. Two Chinese men.
Tang brothers.
Right. What they did when they bought it, they were bleeding it. So they bled it all for what it was worth, and then they closed the doors, and that was it.
Yeah. And that was in the 90s?
Yeah, I think so, in the 90s.
So you said you started working at the mill in 1952?
I got out in 52, yeah. I would say at least 52.
Yep. And what did you do at the mill?
I was running a offset press, 1115. That's the measurement of the press.
Uh-huh.
Printing press. And Dick Ricker was my supervisor. I don't know. Okay. He was there, and also Lou Thompson. He's gone now, but he had a heart problem. But he was in one on Locust Street, then they transferred him up to where I am. And so I was working on Canal Street, and he stayed with me, and we worked for, a few years. And then he passed on.
Yeah.
Well, when they closed the mill, he was out, I was out. But he retired before they closed the mill, so he was lucky. But to him, it was an investment. In other words, he could draw Social Security retirement. So, you know, he didn't lose anything by it. You think it was cheaper to do that rather than to work through. And then, you know, get bounced out or whatever, like I did. But I don't regret it. They treated me decent. Dick Rick treated me decent. I got all my holiday pay. I got my sick leave, vacation pay, 2 weeks. I had 3 weeks. Because of the number of the years, you had more vacation to you. I got that. But I was satisfied with it. At least, you know, it was better than nothing. So I got that, and that was it.
So tell me about your job. What did it involve?
I was printing farms, implant printing farms. You know, different departments in the mill, at the base division now, not the one on Locust Street, had different farms you had to fill out in the office. Mm-hmm. They had different farms. Well, I reproduced, and you made reproductions. And a lot of times they come up with a new farm, you could print that on a press. Big equipment.
Now, Bates also put out publications like The Spinner. Did you?
No, I didn't have anything to do with that. They went to a Twin City printery, I think, or someplace else. I'm not sure where. Mm-hmm. But I just, strictly the farms is what we did. Me and Lou Thompson. Yeah, that was a good number of years ago.
Now, I understand over the years they had different social activities.
They'd have a party, 10-year awards for people that have been, employees that have been there at least 10 years. You get an award, you get a small little pin. At one time, they were giving out nice watches, but that was for 30 or 40 years or something like that. Mm. It was a good number of years. Then they did away with that because they were closing down, I guess. You know, the finances wasn't coming in, and so they didn't want to lose out.
I understand they had a hockey team. And
yeah, Bates Mill had a hockey, right. You're right. Yeah. But they only had it for a few years, and then they just disbanded because there wasn't enough interest. Mm-hmm. But they had it on next to St. Peter's School. There was a yard there, and it was open air more or less. No, then they finally disbanded, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then we used to have a bowling league, Bates Mill.
Did you participate in that?
Oh, yeah, I love bowling. So, Candlepin Bowling on Canal Street, right on the corner there, Canal and what is it, next to the post office, the one on the post office street. Mm-hmm. Well, right on the corner there, they had a bowling alley and everything. And we used to have a league going every year. We did it for a few years. Oh, yeah, a lot of fun.
Did you get to meet people that work at the mill that you didn't really
know
work
who they
with day to day?
No. Yeah, the people that on the bowling team were people that worked in the mill, but in different departments.
Right.
So we didn't know who they were. You know, as long as you sign up, and then at the end of the year, you'd have a banquet, and then you'd have a trophy. Mm-hmm. You know, they spent the money that we drew in, and we paid. You paid so much for a string, and so much for the membership. You know, at the end of the year, everybody was awarded a prize. It was good.
You mentioned Dick Ricker that
right.
You worked with and Lou Thompson.
Right. Lou Thompson and I were employees.
Yeah.
Dick Ricker was a supervisor.
Right. Were there others that you worked with at the mill?
LaBelle. He was a short little man. Yeah. He was a tremendous football player in high school. He became president. And then president, I guess he was still president when they disbanded the mill.
Fred LaBelle?
Fred LaBelle.
Yeah.
He could really run, and he was hard to stop. I didn't see him. He was back in high school. And after that, he got promoted, and eventually, oh yeah. He offered me a job as a supervisor in one of the mills on the Bleachery Mill. I don't know what it was, but I said, no, I didn't want to take it because I don't know. I had an idea something was going to last, and I wouldn't like it. I like printing, and I like what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did the office in New York ever contact you for
anything? No, yeah. They did. I had a supervisor. Oh, shoot, what the hell? I can't think of his name. He was a supervisor for a good number of years. He graduated college, went to World War II, and came back, and he was a go-getter. He asked for a raise locally, you know, at the division. They wouldn't give it to him. So he went, and he got a hold of somebody in New York, went over their head, and he finally got what he wanted.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he was all right. But I'll never forget it, though. He said, oh, yeah, so he went over to New York. They knew somebody down there. Well, he originally was from New York, I think. Or he'd been there a few years.
Yeah.
So he knew his way around, and then he knew the company, and he's met these big, big boys, you know, the president, vice president, all that. So he finagled his way in.
Do you recall any strikes at the mill?
Yeah, there was one strike, and I worked in the office, and it was, they couldn't stop you from going in. But, oh, yeah, it was a big deal, but we were non-union. In other words, I worked in the office. And I worked for the Bates Mill, but I had no connections with any FILs, the CIO or whatever. So we used to cross the line back, and it didn't last too long. They settled right after that. I think it was they were asking for an increase in the wage, and I think they were asking for health benefits. And so it was a package passed through, and it was all right. No problem after that.
Is there anything I haven't asked you about your time in the mill that you think is important to talk about?
Yeah, one time I was working overtime. Listen to this. I was working overtime in my department, so after everybody's gone home, the boss, Ricker, and everybody else left. So I worked, I put in my hours, and I was getting ready to go home. But the night watchman came through, and he saw me, and he waved, you know, we knew each other working. But he locked the door in back of me. In other words, when he went out, he locked the door, which he was supposed to do. But I was still in. I had no key. So I had to go out through the window. So I went out through the window. I figured a way out. So I went out through the window, and I went and told him at the gate. He says, oh, yeah? The next day I came back in to work, the screen was on the window, so I couldn't get through. I said, you son of a gun. He says, well, I was supposed to do that. I said, yeah, but you didn't lock the... If you hadn't locked the door, I could have got out. I said, next time, I don't have the key. So they right below us was a lot of bedspreads in boxes, cartons, all lined up in different styles and everything, price and everything. And so that's why they locked the door, to make sure that nobody would walk off with some of it. I got mad at him, and I told him, you son of a... You shouldn't have locked it. But he wasn't thinking, you know. That's one of those things. But I figured out a way to get out. My wife thought I was out drinking or something. She called the police department. He hasn't showed up. This and that. And the cop says, well, wait a minute. Are you sure? Yeah, he didn't stop for a beer? No, he's never done that. And so finally, when I showed up, she says, well, I call him. I says, for crying out loud, call him back up and tell him I'm home. So she called him back, and he says, what did I tell you? He started laughing. He says, it's all right, ma'am. Oh, boy, that was something.
Yeah. Now, when did you retire or stop working at the mill?
Well, I stopped working at the mill. Mom! Mom!
Yeah.
Come here. My memory's gone. I had a stroke on the right side.
Okay.
And since then, when did I start working at the mill?
It was before I met you.
Oh, no, when I stopped working.
When you stopped?
Yeah, when they fired me, they laid me off. They were doing away 19-something.
80.
Because I was working at the jail after that.
83. 83. 83, your mother was at Boston Nursing.
Right.
Yeah,
she was 10 years there, so.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah, about 83.
Yeah.
Then I went from there. I had a hard time at my age. I was over 50, trying to retire, and get working so I can
but
get retired.
But a lot of places you could have taken to court. Because they said because of your health, he never was sick. Never in his life.
The Pioneer Plastic was what she's talking about.
Lisbon Road there. The old Lisbon Road, where it's closed now.
Yeah.
There's another place. And there was three places they refused you.
Yeah, because of my age.
Because he was 59 years old.
I was over skilled in that particular line, so they wouldn't hire me for anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the employment office was on Lisbon Street at the time, and the guy started giving me a hard time because I couldn't find a job. I said, look, they won't hire me because of my age. I'm ready to retire. Close to it. I had only, five or 10?
Yeah. You were 59 then. And then you went to work for Hoods, and
they
closed down.
No, they closed down.
And
closed.
Then he didn't have a job.
But then I went to
so
jail.
Then my cousin is a sheriff, Ronnie Gagnon. That's my cousin. So
I went to work.
He said, you're in the Marine. You get experience.
Says, as an MP, you know, as a policeman.
He was hired there until for 6 years, and then he retired, which is 93. He retired.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the end of that one.
Yeah.
So you weren't at the mill at the very end when it, but you were there when they started downsizing.
Oh yeah, downsizing. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one. There was a lot of other people that got downsized.
Yeah.
But that was because of the two Chinese guys. They gradually start bleeding it out.
Mm-hmm.
You want something to drink? Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm off that. Yeah, thank you.
You didn't offer me any.
Well, I get you a drink.
I got the water.
And I'm interested because the Tang brothers bought the mill after the employees tried to
buy it
themselves.
Right.
Now, did you participate in that?
No. I was let go before. I was home on sick leave. They called me up and said, you're all done.
Yeah.
Basically, and what it was, I went back and picked up my personal things that I had, and so that was it.
Yeah. Now, when you were growing up in Lewiston, how large was your family?
I was the only one.
You're the only
no
child.
Brothers, no sisters. No.
And what is your wife's name?
Elizabeth Ann.
And her maiden name?
Govan. Elizabeth Govan.
Mm-hmm. Did she grow up in Lewiston?
She was born in Canada, but she came here, and then I met her in a good number of years together, and we finally got married.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.